Okay. Hello. I haven't been on here for a while. I unintentionally took a month and a half break from podcasting, so I'm so grateful to be back here with you all. It just kind of happened. As a lot of you know, I moved on to a new property beginning of February, and it's been a ride. It's been a real ride, guys. So I think I just got so absolutely ridiculously busy that, one thing I've noticed, I'm barely on my phone. I'm always outside doing all the things, which means I'm not on Instagram, which means I'm not constantly, but I'm not reaching out to people to be on the podcast that, I'm interested in. And so it just kind of, the break just kind of happened. And very unintentional. I am definitely keen to be back as my life has found some sort of balance, we'll say, where I feel like I have time again to be here with you. And so for that, I'm grateful. This is a little bit of a update podcast, a Rewilding Roses Real Talk podcast episode. Next week, there will be guests back on the show, and I'm really excited for that. I'm having some episodes where it's Crohn's Council Roundtable and just really women talking about menopause, perimenopause, and most importantly, midlife crises, because as we all know, they're a real thing. Well, I didn't know they were a real thing in my 20s, but being in my 40s here, it's a real thing. Real deal. And so, yeah, I've got lots of amazing guests coming up. I'm so excited about that. The homestead here is flourishing. I've got my farm stand. I've got my products on there. Of course, you can order them online as well. My Bison Beauty and Beef Babe sell out pretty quickly. So I'm so, so, so grateful for that. It's making my soap. All the good stuff. All the good stuff. So, the show's back. I'm grateful to be here as well. I've got a lot of in-person events starting to happen. If you are here on the Sunshine Coast, if you're not here on the Sunshine Coast and you want to come to the Sunshine Coast because it's the most beautiful place ever, my Airbnb is open and I'm going to have a bell tent in the forest here real soon that you can come and stay in. So that's really exciting. But for now, I've got a beautiful, beautiful house that is a B&B. So you can come stay with me and check out all the good stuff that's here. But for the Sunshine Coasters, I've got a couple in-person groups happening, some Christ-centered meditations by the creek, stretch classes, rest and relaxation stretch classes by the creek. And then I have gotten a wise women's council in my home, a monthly circle. So I'm super passionate about that. I just wrapped up the Crohn's Council online group and it was really beautiful. And I think supportive because we're all like navigating this midlife time and, kids are moving out, kids are getting older. What do we do after? It's like these real deep grieving processes that happen. And I think it's really important to have that space to really talk about it and just to have a group listen. That's an art that I think gets missed in this time is just to listen. Sometimes people just want to be heard. And so the Wise Women's Council, if there's, interest in it, I am open to doing an online one as well. Just reach out. But yeah, so the Crohn's Council, that group's going to be happening. So, what's been happening on the homestead? It's busy. It's really busy. And I think, there's this, it's everybody's dream, or a lot of people's dream, maybe not everybody's dream, to have land and to have chickens and bees. And it's been my dream for so long. And it is an absolute dream. Like it's an absolute dream come true. But I've never worked so hard in my life and done things that I was like, I never thought I would do this. Like I absolutely never thought this was a possibility. in my lifetime. And so that never been a possibility in my lifetime is I've been building things myself. I'm not a builder, you know, I'm not that girl. I grew up really far northern Alberta. My dad really wasn't like a Mr. Fix-It man, but he was a very smart man. He owned business that was very successful. So, but, you know, I wasn't like, I don't know how to change my own oil. I don't change my own tires. Like, I just didn't grow up with that. And then my dad's been passed for many years. So that's not my jam. You know, I'm more about very feminine things. But anyway, long story short, I now am the proud owner of a wood splitter and a miter saw. Yeah. And so the wood splitter, the best $200 I've ever spent in my life. Hands down, it is the best thing. And at first everybody's kind of like, or, you know, I still hear it like, oh, you should, you know, you got to split your own wood. That's cheating. And it's like, no, no, it's not cheating. I haul the wood up a incline. Okay. I have to put it in a wheelbarrow from the woodshed up an incline, deliver it at the front of my house, and then split it from there. It is still a workout. I tried the whole axe situation. I'm the proud owner of a double-edged axe, which I'm not really sure why you would have a double-edged axe, but I have one. And it's really cool. It's kind of like a hipster one. So, yeah. So I don't wear my sundresses when I try to chop the wood, or when I did try to chop the wood. But it didn't go well. Like, I'm just not a wood chopper. I haven't been successful yet. Maybe, you know, if Armageddon happens and I have to chop my own wood, we have no power, such and such, I'm sure I can do it. But chopping wood did not go well. I have a hatchet. I also have a hatchet. And I started trees that have already fallen down, like really small baby ones that have fallen down. I've been hatcheting them, chopping them away from the roots, so then I can chop those up with my miter saw for wood for next year. So not something I ever knew, but you need to dry out your wood for like 6 months before you can use it for the wood stove next year. And both the homes on this property are heated by wood stoves. So I've been using my hatchet. I've been cutting up some trees with my miter saw. I love it. It's super fun. So I've been building shit. So I have beehives. I have two of them, and I just put them on the ground, and I go into like their enclosure, and which I didn't have an electric fence at this point. I now have an electric fence that I installed myself. Very proud. I probably did it in one of my sundresses with bloodstones on, because that's kind of my jam. I installed an electric fence. So yay me. And I never got electrocuted. So that's like double yay me. And so YouTube is a godsend. And I just ask a lot of questions. Like, when I go into these shops, I kind of almost want to have a banner. You know, I think they see this coming, the guys in the shops. I think they know as soon as they see me, but I kind of want to have a banner like, I'm going to look like an idiot. I'm going to ask some really stupid questions, but you know what? I've never done this before, and I'm learning, and it's exciting, and it's fun. And I had to go buy posts, like pencil posts, I think they're called, for my electric fence. And I went in there to Gibson's Building Supplies, and I was just like, guys, is there something that I can install myself, because I don't want to like hire somebody to install these fence posts. Like, can I install these myself? And the younger guys are like, oh yeah, yeah, you can totally do it. And then the older guy's like shaking his head like, no, she can't, no, she can't. No, she won't be able to. And I didn't install them myself. I'm like, no, I'm gonna give it a go. I got these pencil posts, but thankfully there was a landscaper here helping my mom, and he installed them for me. So you just got to sweet talk some men. Like, men, you are very appreciated on this homestead. And so anyway, I didn't have my electric fence at that point. I had my bees on the ground and I went to feed them and I took off their lid and a rat ran out from underneath the hive and I screamed blue flippin' murder. Like, yeah, that's the way you phrase that. I screamed at the top of my lungs. And so I got one of my friends, Samir, over to lift my hives up so that I could put them on a hive stand. And I was in a panic. I needed this done right away because I couldn't feed them. I stopped feeding them because right now I'm feeding them sugar and water with pollen in it. And this Caspian solution, I think it's called, that I got from my bee mentor. Because they're new hives, so they don't have any of the honeycomb built out at all. And so they need to build out all that. And that's a lot of work for my girls. And when I first got them, there wasn't much in bloom. We were getting a lot of rain. So I feed them every day the sugar water, which, you know, I was kind of hesitant about that. Like before I got bees, I was like, I'm not feeding them sugar water. I'm not feeding them sugar water. But they'll die otherwise. So I put stuff in it so that it's healthier for them. But if I don't feed them, they'll die. And I can't feed them anything else other than sugar water. So I surrendered. And I've been feeding them sugar water. So anyway, I wouldn't feed them until these hives were up because I don't like rats. I don't think anybody likes rats. Although you can get rat pets on SPCA, which is just disgusting. But anyway, so my friend Samir came over. I put them on TV stands because that was all that I could get quickly were TV stands. And so I put them on TV stands. I mean, you could look at them and be like, that's not stable enough, Lisa. Which Samir was kind of like, I don't know if that's, you know, but so I put them on there with the intention to build a frame around them. So I did that. And I didn't learn until probably a couple weeks after this, but the whole time I was using the drill in reverse. And that makes everything a lot more challenging when you're using the drill in reverse. And why I was using the drill in reverse is because when you put it forward, it like takes a few seconds to like catch and then like, boom, just go in, right? Like then you're like, oh yeah, this is on fire. But those first few moments that it takes to catch, I'm like, this isn't the right way. This is in reverse. So then I would switch it over and then it wouldn't do that. But obviously, I mean, I used a drill bit. I would drill bit like a hole in the thing before I put the screw because I'm like, it won't screw the screw in there. Like, this is too hard for this drill. And anyway, how I found out I was using the drill bit in reverse was I was putting pictures up in my mom's place. This was a couple weeks later, maybe even a month. And my sister was like, you've got the drill in reverse. And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, no, obviously I don't have the drill in reverse. And then she was like, you do. Like, look at it. It's going counterclockwise. And I was like, it's going counterclockwise. Yeah. So I've got the drill in reverse. And then she switched it and game changer. Like, I'm like unstoppable now with that drill because it's going the right way. And I haven't had to use a drill bit for anything since that moment. So I built these hive stands with the drill in reverse. And so if you are on my Instagram, you would have seen like they didn't go so well. I mean, they didn't go well. And even with these frames around the TV stands, my bee mentor saw a picture. He's like, they don't look stable, these. So long story short, not knowing the drill was in reverse. At this time, I made a new set of stands with 5-gallon buckets upside down, some sheets of like plywood, put those on top. And yeah, Bob's your uncle. They're happy on there now. They're happy. And I'm using the drill the right way. So everybody is happy all around. So yeah, I built that. I built the hive stands. I also built a compost bin that looks kind of like a transformer. I'm not sure how that happened, but it's yeah, I really like building things, but I'm not good, like not good at all at building things. So I had thought about building my own chicken coop. I don't think I'm quite there. I might need a few more tools, but I mean, the miter saw is pretty amazing because I can cut things to whatever length I want. I'm just super, I'm not cheap. Like, I'm not a cheap person at all, but I feel like I want to use stuff that is on the land, on the property already. So I'll just get scrap wood and build things. And they work. They just look like not so great. So I also built a carrot, like a garden bed for my carrots specifically, because I actually do have carrots coming up in my other bed, but I put them in this bed and then other crazy things were coming up in the garden, like blackberries, because blackberries are insane on this coast. They're like everywhere. And every day I'd be on my Instagram, like, are these carrots? Are these carrots? And everybody's like, no, you don't have any carrots coming up. And then I thought, well, maybe it's not the right soil. So anyway, I found this stool on Marketplace for $5. I just put it on its side, put another piece of wood, filled that with my carrots with some really nice soil, because I have really nice soil here, but it's quite like chunky and fertile. Like, it's very rich. Apparently carrots like more sandy soil. So anyway, I built that. I think I'm on pause because I'm not going to build the chicken coop. I was going to build a home for my worms. I think I might leave that to the professionals, you know, because this property is incredibly beautiful. And the one thing that sticks out like a sore thumb is the compost bin I built. So yeah, maybe I'll take a course. That'd be super fun. Just take a course, learn some skills, and just, I mean, I could build the deck eventually for the bell tent that's going to go in the forest for Airbnb. But like I said, I'm not quite there. So that has been a series of things that I never saw coming in this life. And here we are. I'm not quite ready to use a chainsaw. I hired my pastor to do that for me, to cut up a bunch of logs, fallen trees that are already in the forest. So he did all that. So that's amazing, because I'm not quite there, not quite ready to use a chainsaw. But, you know, maybe next year I might get a bow and arrow. There hasn't been any deer for probably the past couple months. I think my dog scared them away, but there was a bear the other day. So I was sitting on my deck just working on my computer, and the dogs in the neighborhood were barking like crazy, like going crazy. And I was like, why? Like, that's so annoying. What's going on? Not what's going on, but just like, why are they doing this? Really annoyed by it all. Just working, and it just something was like, oh, I'm just going to look up, because I'm like looking out into the forest, which, how much beautiful, you know, so beautiful. And there was this bear, like probably about 7 feet from me. And I jumped up, grabbed my phone, went in the house, because I'm like, I got to take a picture of this. And it was gone. I must have scared him. He ran and didn't make a sound. Like, they're very majestic. And anyway, he was really beautiful. So that was my first close bear encounter. And I survived. So I might get a t-shirt that says survivor, you know, bear survivor. Which they don't really hurt you, the black bears. But still, you know, anyway, so that's been the only animal that I've really seen other than deers. A TV show was filmed in my house. It was totally a God moment. I was, just walking through my forest one day, and I was like, this place is just, it's incredible. Like, it's so beautiful. I hope you all get to come and see this place. And I was just walking through, and I was like, you know, it should be like in a TV show or a movie. And back when I was an interior designer, one of my coworkers, he had his place in TV shows and movies up in Canmore in the mountains. And I was just like, I wonder how he did that. Totally forgot about it. And then 2 weeks later, got a piece of paper on my door that said a TV show was scouting in the area and my place fit the criteria and they wanted to come see it. And so that was a huge process. I had a woofer staying with me not long after that. He was actually like getting treatments from my friend, this guy from the island, Jordan. He was getting treatments from my friend for PEMF. And so he was like, is there a place that I could stay in exchange for work? She's like, my friend just bought, you know, this huge property. She's all on her own. She could really use some help. So he came and stayed for, I think, 3 nights. And we got so much work done. He was such a godsend. Like, he helped me so much. So, and we were like both conspiracy theorists and stuff. So that makes it all the more fun, you know, conspiracy theorists slash truth tellers, you know. But anyway, so he was here. He helped me get the place already. And then they filmed. It was a pretty wild experience. I stayed on the land in my mom's cabin and there were like 20, 30 trucks on film day. Like it was cool. So anyway, there's been a TV show filmed here. I've worked on a TV show last week, a reality one. I was a driver for the host. These are all things that I have never done before, you know, but the West Coast is, quite, there's a lot of film that happens here. Not so much in my old hometown of Calgary, Alberta, but here we are. So that's been super cool. So I, you know, put it out there to you guys if you had any questions about life here on the homestead. One of the questions that I got was, what do I like best? And I like the bees the best. I love my bees. Like I love my bees, but they're really mad at me right now. This just happened like yesterday. This has been really for the past week. Before, I could go in there without any gear on and I'd be just fine. I could feed them. You know, I couldn't do a hive inspection without gear on, but I could feed them and I was completely fine. But so when I got my hives, it's really cool how they come, but they come from New Zealand. And they're in this like box with netting so they can breathe. And then the queen's like in a separate little box within the box, right? And so I got the rundown from my bee mentor, went home with my bees and had to put them in their hives. And my bee mentor's like, they're super calm. Like you don't, you know, he wasn't wearing any gear. So he's like, you shouldn't need gear. So I didn't put any gear on. Well, I got stung like 7 times. But so what happened was because I kind of got panicky, I put way more in one hive than the other hive. So my hives weren't balanced. But they're fine. So I just had this, you know, bigger hive and a smaller hive. And they've just been doing their thing, you know, making babies. Or the queen's been laying her eggs, having her babies. Did you know, and I might be wrong with my information because I'm a new beekeeper, but I believe the queen does one mating run. Has sex with a bunch of drones because that's the male bees. They're like flying penises and gets all the eggs for her lifetime, comes back, and then she just lays eggs continuously, I believe. I mean, if I'm wrong, that's okay. I'm a new beekeeper. But I'm pretty sure it's something along those lines. So anyway, my bees, you know, my queen's been having babies, all that kind of stuff. And then my mentor was like, you should equalize your hives so that they're more equal. So what I did was I went in and I got a frame that has a lot of babies. We call it brood in it, and then put it in my smaller hive. So then these babies are going to be born into the other hives, which was so cool because they were starting to be born. So I saw these little baby bees coming out. They're just like crawling out of their cell. And the first job that they do is they clean out their cell. So pretty cool. Anyway, so I did that and I was full gear and then I thought I had queen cells. So I had to go back in. This was like a couple days ago. Had to go back in to take pictures for my mentor to see if I actually had queen cells because that's not so good. But anyway, so I was in there twice in one day. I was fully suited up. I got stung on my butt. They somehow got up my dress. On my stomach twice, on my hand, and my armpit. To the armpit. Anyway, So I got stung a lot, which I've gotten stung probably about 19 times since I've been a beekeeper here. But ever since that, they're like, as soon as I open up their thing, they just come like, whew, like come in for the attack. Like they want blood. Like so many more of them stung me when I was like equalizing their hives. But because I had gloves on, I had everything on. They were not successful. They just stung my glove. But interestingly enough, so anyway, the bees are my favorite, but we're not really friends right now. Like my girls are really pissed off at me and I'm hoping that we can reconcile our relationship because I mean, bee stings are apparently really healthy. I'll go into that a little bit more, but they hurt, you know, they really hurt when it's happening and then you're itchy for a couple of days. So yeah, the bees are my favorite, but we're on the outs right now. We're not having a good time at the minute, but so I'm full of venom at the minute. And so I was Googling, home remedies to make the bee stings feel better because they felt pretty terrible yesterday. And then I came upon these products that had all this bee venom in it. And I was like, oh wow. Like they have bee venom in these products because there's all this research going into the health benefits of bee venom. And, a bee dies when it stings us. And so when I got stung a lot, that like a lot of bees died. Bees don't really have a long lifespan. But anyway, that was sad. So anyway, I'm like, there's bee venom in these products. Like these bees are going to die, you know, cause it says no bees are harmed. And I'm like, well, that's not true because a bee dies when it stings. But what I later found out, so I was kind of like, don't buy products with bee venom in it. But what I found out is that bees don't die when they're making these products because how they get the bee venom out of the bees is they give the bees a slight electric shock, which that's kind of mean. And then the bees try to sting this pane of glass. And then they go on their merry way and they don't die when they sting the pane of glass because their stinger doesn't get stuck in the pane of glass. Like it gets stuck in us. That's what kills them is because the stinger gets stuck in us and it gets left in us and then they die. So the bee venom products are not killing bees. You can buy them if you want to. It's not nice that the bees get shocked, but they still get to live. They still live. There's another podcast episode that I had on here that talks about how long bees live. So we don't want to kill the bees. Like we don't want to kill the bees. We need the bees. We need a lot of bees. And but they don't die. Moral of the story, they don't die. I thought they died. They don't die. They get a little shock, which isn't very nice, but you do you. If you want the bee venom and you don't want to get stung to get the bee venom, maybe these products are a great alternative, you know? But beekeepers do live the longest. I've heard this many times. And as some of it has to do with the venom. And it's supposed to be really good for arthritis. I do have a lot of body pain. But I've noticed it's not as bad lately. Like it's legitimately not as bad. I am getting a lot stronger working here on the homestead because I'm constantly hauling wood and you know, all the things. But my body pain is not as bad. So maybe it's from the bee stings. I don't know. I'm going to tell myself that. I'm going to, be grateful for those bee stings. But so I'm hoping we can reconcile our relationship because I love the bees. That's my favorite part. Definitely my favorite part. Another question, a lot of people ask that, what's my favorite part? Another question was, how do I get over the inner critic? I guess the voice that tells me not to do all this. I am a jumper. And what I mean by that is I always just go for it. I've always been this way. It's bit me in the ass many times. But I just go. And so, you know, I was a single mom. Like when my daughter's 23 now, I went to design school. She was four. I was, you know, single mom. Just, I don't think of the consequences, you know, I don't think about like what could happen. And I don't think in an irresponsible way, but, and I shouldn't say that. I mean, I do in some scenarios, but like, I just was like, I need to do this. I need to go to design school. Did it, you know? Was it hard? Holy shit. It was so hard. So, so hard. Moved to Australia for a job opportunity. Just me and my daughter went. Was it hard? Holy shit. You know, did I move back? Yes. Were there lots of painful moments and fails? Holy crap. Yeah. But I just did it. And, you know, I went traveling for 4 or 5 months, went to India. I just, you know, was all that hard? I mean, the traveling, yeah. Yeah. Like I don't, yeah. India, holy crap. Like so hard. And so I just, you know, moving here, like, I mean, I haven't told the full story about why I moved here, but what I thought would turn out has not turned out at all. You know, like some part pieces of it, like I envisioned this land, I prayed for this land. Like, it's crazy how close it is to the visions that I was holding and the pictures that I was holding dear to my heart, you know. But moving here, I came here because of an ex-boyfriend, you know, and not just an ex-boyfriend, like we've known each other our whole lives, but, you know, and yeah, that was hard. Holy crap, that was hard. So I guess where I'm going with that is I have done things in my life that many people would have talked themselves out of, and maybe for good reason. Maybe I should have talked myself out of a few of them. I don't know. But here we are. But so the inner critic, I just jump. I don't really listen to it. And I mean, I've done a lot of work, but do I have an inner critic like this will never work? No. Do things never work? Yes, sometimes, you know, like there are things that have never worked. But I wasn't like, oh, this isn't going to work. What if this, you know, I don't think I have a lot of that. I just work really hard and usually make it happen. So, you know, fingers crossed that happens here. But I guess I trust. Yeah, I have really good trust in certain areas of my life. And then in other ones, that's, you know, I've learned to trust a lot more since surrendering to Jesus. That has definitely helped. Yeah, so that inner critic, I guess the inner person that tells me like, no, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. She's gotten very quiet over the years, or, you know, she used to show up more just with action, where I would just like break up with guys before they could break up with me. It was like, I shut doors. I shut things down before they could shut me down. Relationship has always been my area for that. Men in my life. But with opportunity, I've usually jumped when it comes to, you know, just following my gut, start a podcast, done. You know, I've always just done it and not really thought like maybe I'll suck at it, or maybe nobody will listen, or maybe nobody will come, or, you know, I've just kept at it. And I think if you talk to any people that, you know, podcast or have online businesses or do something that is out of the norm, where a lot of people would be like, what the flip is she doing? You know, I don't know about the homestead yet, cause I'm not far enough down that, road, but with anything, they'll say consistency, consistently showing up, just doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. And it doesn't have to be like hustle mode, you know, where you're just like, no, it's not hustle mode. That doesn't work, cause then you burn yourself out. But just consistently showing up. And I think you get rewarded for that. And, you know, it's like, if you want something, you consistently show up for it. and I believe it will flourish, whatever that might be. You will be rewarded. And so, but again, that's not hustle mode. That's not burnout mode. That's not like not having balance in your life. It's just consistently showing up, you know? I think that's a big one. Yeah. So anyway, that's the answer to that question. That was a bit of a tangent. What else has been happening on the homestead here? I had to like flip through photos because you forget because, well, because I'm in my mid-40s, I forget. Walking backwards helps with dementia. So I recommend everybody do that. But life is just so full. I could keep myself busy for years on this place. So, you know, there's some things that I want to make happen. I would love a sauna. I would love a bunkie in the forest, the tent. But I've been really focused on my garden. I have about 30 squash plants. I started my seeds in March and they kind of took over my house. And yeah, so I'm not a very patient person. I want squash now, you know? But I'm not going to get squash now. It's going to take a little bit of time here. But yeah, I've been doing a ton in the garden. I'm in the rainforest here. We've got a fig tree. We've got apple trees. We have a lot of blackberries, but nobody wants blackberries because they're an invasive species. So got them, don't want them. Actually, my mom had a landscaper like hack them all down by her cabin. Blueberries, raspberries, like you can grow so much here. It's so abundant. The earth is so abundant here. And we can garden all year long. Like, how cool is that? I'd never even heard of that before moving here, which, you know, I'm sure maybe they garden all year long in Australia. But when I lived in Australia, I was not a gardener. I was an interior designer. So, which the interior design aspect has really come in handy here. I have done a ton of work with Jordan. Jordan helped me a ton. The woofer, which woofers are workaway people where they would come and stay here and work in exchange for staying in my place. And I would feed them. So I've done a ton of work on the interior and it looks really beautiful. I think I've done a great job. I really like it. I love my home. I love my little piece of paradise here on the Sunshine Coast. And I'm thinking about maybe raising rabbits to sell for meat. Everybody gets horrified when I sell that. But you know, rabbit meat is actually really good. And maybe Armageddon's not coming. Maybe it is. Who knows? But I also thought about getting a baby lamb. Because have you seen pictures of baby lambs? They're so freaking cute. Like they are so cute. And I would like milk. And I would like to have my own milk. I get raw milk, but I would like to have my own milk and cream to make butter and all that kind of good stuff. So I think that's it for the update today. The real talk is it's not all sundresses and flowing around prancing on your land like homesteading might look like. It's like real work, guys. I don't have clean nails anymore and I probably will not as long as I'm gardening. I just, whatever. It's like a black dirt French manicure. And men really help. Men really help. So I'm really calling in my husband. God, that is my now ask is for my king, for my man to come to me on this land. And yeah, because men really come in handy. They, yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying building stuff. Is it my choice? Not really. You know, I'd rather like make butter and cook and forage and all that kind of good stuff. So anyway, yeah, that's my update for now. Sending you all lots of love. Be back with an episode with some guests. Thanks for sticking around here with me. There is a one-time tip option in the show notes if you feel called to contribute to the show. It's just me now getting it all out there, homesteading, doing all the things. So any support by sharing, by liking, by purchasing something from one of the affiliates in the show notes, yeah, there's this tip option as well. Just sending an e-transfer. It's all so greatly appreciated. I absolutely love doing the podcast and yeah, super grateful to be here with you and looking forward to more episodes coming your way. Thank you so much for joining me for an episode of the Phoenix Rising podcast. Please like, share, download, subscribe if you enjoyed this episode, and I will see you next week for another episode on the Phoenix Rising podcast. Sending so much love.